All right. So this is my first time. I'm an old-fashioned kind of person, so this is my first time speaking off in an iPad. I typically use paper, so forgive me if I go a little slow. My name is Danielle. I am the kids pastor here at the River, and I know you're wondering, what did we do with the kids if the kids pastor's in here? It's okay. We put the third graders in charge. They seemed like the most level-headed, you know, because the fifth graders are too cocky, and then the kindergartners are too spacey, so like perfect median. I'm kidding. I have amazing interns, three of them back there right now, and they're holding down the fort. They do an excellent job. Your kids are always in good hands here at the River. So let's get started. I have been blessed with speaking about everyone's favorite piece of the fruit of the Spirit, and that is the fruit of patience. If you're a parent or you work in retail, you understand what I'm talking about. So, if I could get my life together with this microphone, that'd be awesome. I got it. Okay, cool. Whatever. All right, so, patience. When we were presented with the pastoral staff was presented with, you know, everyone can pick a fruit, what do you want to speak on? I don't know why, but the first fruit, I was like, I'll take patience. I was like, wait, never mind. I don't want patience. I'll take joy because... I just want joy. I hung up the phone and I said to my husband, and I was like, I'm going to take joy because patience is still something I'm working on. He said, well, then maybe that's why you should speak on it. And I was like, nobody asked you. I called him back and I was like, okay, I'll do patience. So here we go. It's oftentimes the most dreaded piece of the fruit of the Spirit because it's so hard. You know, it's so hard to be patient sometimes because people, man, you know? And there's two facets to patience. There's waiting on something, and then there's trying not to lose your Jesus when somebody is doing something they shouldn't be doing. There's two, okay? And so I'm going to talk about both of those and kind of try and intertwine them. And so I think for the most part, we have it wrong when it comes to patience because... if you really think about it, when we think about patience in the waiting aspect, most of the time we think that patience is waiting. We think that, okay, I have to be patient because something is coming. But waiting is just waiting. Does that make sense? There's a difference between patience and waiting because no matter what you do, you're going to wait. Patience is what you do with your time while you wait. And let me put it this way. I'm going to tell you a lot of stories, and I'm going to tell you a lot of analogies, because that's how I learn. So, sorry. But, and I'm also a kids pastor, so, and I love cake, so that's why this comes into play. If you've ever baked a cake before, you know, you follow the directions and you preheat your oven to whatever degrees. You get your pans ready, you grease them. You put all the ingredients together, your eggs, your oil, your water, whatever it is. I'm a box cake person. So the three ingredients is super easy. So you pour it in the pans and then you put the pans in the oven and then you have to wait for about half an hour, depending on your pan size, for your cake to bake. And then after your cake bakes, you can take it out, but before you can frost it, you have to wait again for it to cool. I didn't wait one time, and I learned. You wait to frost your cake, because I did not have a frosted cake. So when you put your cake in the oven, you can go and vacuum or catch up on a good TV show. I wouldn't suggest you take a nap while the oven's on, but you can. You can do a lot of things, but because either way you're going to wait on this cake, or you can fill your time by doing that, or you can come over to the oven, turn the light on, stare at the cake, and complain the whole time why it's taking so long. Why is this cake taking forever to bake? I did everything right. I mixed the eggs, and I poured it in the oil, and I poured it in the pan, and I shook it so all of the air bubbles came out, and then I preheated the oven, and it's taking forever. And her cake baked faster than mine, and I'm mad about that because her cake bakes faster, and why does everything take forever for me? You guys would think I was needed to be in an institution. Because that's silliness. Because we all know, everyone knows a cake takes time to bake. And it's what you do with your time while you wait. So if it's crazy for me to throw a fit about a cake, it's crazy for me to throw a fit about anything else that I'm waiting on. And Jesus and I have a really great relationship. And he likes to, you know, in a nice way, smack me around a little bit with truth. And so I didn't get married until I was 25 and a half years old. And I know it's like all the older people are like, oh my gosh, you're just a baby. And I know that. But when you're 25, you feel like you're 50 when you're not married. So, and my mom got married when she was 19. So I had that same expectation. And so, 25, I'm like, I'm never going to get married. So, I have always wanted to get married. I'm a hopeless romantic. My favorite movie is Ever After with Drew Barrymore and Angelica Houston. If you haven't seen it, rent it. It's really good. Plus, Cinderella's name is Danielle in the movie. So it's just my life. Except for I didn't have an evil stepmother, but that's beside the point. So, and I've always had this passion and this drive towards purity. So I didn't date around a lot. The only person I've ever kissed is my husband, because I was saving that for him, and it wasn't until I knew that he was my husband that I was going to give that away. And I'm not saying that for a pat on the back or you to think I'm awesome, because you're actually going to figure out that I'm actually wasn't that awesome. But I had three great, really great friends, some of my best friends growing up, and they were quite the opposite of me. And that's not a mean thing about them. They dated around a lot. They had a lot of boyfriends. They ended up giving themselves away before they got married. And then it just completely different than me. And all three of them got married and had kids years before me. Years. And so I'm over here with God, like, what gives, dude? Like, I don't suggest you call God dude, but I was mad. And I frequently let him know how mad I was. I'm like, I've done all this waiting. I did everything right. I don't date, and I don't flirt, and I don't do any of this stuff, and they did. I've been so patient, and they haven't been. And Jesus said, actually, you've been just as impatient as they've been. You just display your impatience differently than they did. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? So all this was worthless. So, that's the thing is we do all the right things, but if we're complaining while we're doing it, you might as well be over there doing that. Because complaining is a sinful activity. So if complaining is sinful, and sex before marriage is sinful, and sin is sin, you're the same, and you have no right to brag. And I was really upset with myself about that. So I decided to change my perspective on patience then. And I'll get to more of that part of my story in a little bit about changing my perspective of that. But Psalm 37, 7a, the beginning part of this, says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. The literal definition of patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay or trouble or suffering without getting angry or upset. That's patience. So being able to tolerate any of that stuff, trouble, delay, all of this, without getting angry or upset. That's patience. And then Psalm 37, 7 says, be patient in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. So patience is about what you do while you wait. It's about when that cake is in the oven, you can either whine and complain about it or you can get stuff done while it's baking. Because either way, you're waiting. And you can either be happy about it, or it can seem like forever when you're complaining about it. But when you distract yourself with what God's got going on, You turn around and you're like, whoa, that was super quick. And patience is not something that just happens naturally. It's something you have to learn. It's a muscle. I mean, and obviously you guys know I know a lot about muscle. That was a joke. I can't even do a push-up. But I do know that if you don't use your muscles, you lose your muscles, hence my arms. And if you don't use it, you lose it. You have to work it out to make it work. That's why people who are bedridden for years, they have to relearn to walk because they haven't used it. So the less you use your patience, the more annoying life is going to be. And the stronger you build your patience, the easier it's going to be when stuff comes your way. I like the way that Joyce Meyer puts it. And she says, patience is a fruit that only grows and develops under trial. So if you're someone who's like, Jesus, I want to be more patient. He's like, great, get on the treadmill. Let's go for a run. You're going to experience things that are going to make you use patience if you're trying to grow patience. She says, our patience cannot grow if everything is always going our way. Not only can our patience not grow when everything is going our way, our relationship with Jesus can't grow. Because if everything's going my way, then I don't need to rely on him to help me out. If everything's going my way, obviously, you talk to Jesus, don't just go to him for things that you need, because that's treating him like a bellhop instead of your Savior. But when everything's going your way, you don't have to trust him because you just know it's going to happen. You don't build history with God when everything goes your way. It's when everything is going the wrong way and you go to him and you say, give me perspective, that's when you build history with God. And so Father God wants us to do three things while we wait, to build patience, to grow that muscle. And those things are to trust him, to control our emotions, and to fill our time well. And so the first one that God wants us to do is to trust in Father God. And I love that we sang the song History today, because the trusting God and building a trusting relationship with God is building history with him. When you choose to trust God, you build history. So later in life, when there's something huge going on in your life, you can look back at the history that you've built and said, I know how consistent he is in our history. So I pull from that to sustain me through what's going on right now. So Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And that's a super common scripture, but it's so, it applies to everything that we do. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. This is a song, a scripture I learned as a song when I was a kid, and so I never really thought really deep into it, because it was just a little kid's song that helped me memorize Proverbs. But lean not on your own understanding. When you're looking at something that doesn't make sense, we naturally want to look at it and go, I can't process this because this is bigger than me. And so we try to pull from everything that we know of to make it like, it's like trying to fit like a square peg in a round hole, and it doesn't work. So when we lean on his understanding, he inserts that there and gives us peace. And because we have peace, we have joy. So patience is actually the plug that helps us with all the other fruit. They all tie together, if you haven't noticed this by now. All of them. It's not like you get different fruits and like joy is a banana and peace is a strawberry. It's like it's all one orange and they're just like slices. They all go together to make one fruit. And you can't have a whole orange if you're missing a piece. And I wouldn't want to eat it because I don't know where it was. You got to have them all together for it to make a fruit. So you're not bearing the, and it's tough news, and I'm working on it too. But if you're not bearing one of the fruits, you're really not actually bearing any of them, because they come together. That's beside the point. So the reason why Jesus wants us to trust in him, Father God wants us to lean on him, is because he sees the road in front of you. And I promise you, life knew that I was speaking about patience this week because I was at Secretary of State twice. Twice. And I was like, and both times it was like an hour or more. And I was like, Lord, you're trying to test me right now. But on our way to Secretary of State, my husband and I, we were given the like the blessing and the privilege to give two of our cars away. To get new cars and then just give them away to people who needed them. And so that's why we were at Secretary of State. And I'm like, Jesus, I'm trying to do a good thing, and you're testing me with this. But we were on our way, and I was following my husband in my car, and he was in the car that we were giving. And he was at the, like, the driveway of the complex that we live in. And so there's a really busy street. It's Pine Grove. And it's not really that busy, but, you know, there's a lot of cars, and it's like five lanes, and that makes me nervous. But so we're trying to turn left, and it's like lunchtime, so there's a million people. And he's in front of me, and all of a sudden I see a break in the traffic. And I'm like, why in the world is he not turning? Because this is like our chance to go. And then we're going to have to wait again. And as soon as that thought pops in my head, a car blazes by. And Holy Spirit's like, he's in front of you. He sees what's coming and you don't. So cool your jets. And Holy Spirit's like, now take that analogy and apply it to your life. I'm in front of you. I see what's coming. And while you're sitting back here complaining about why we're not moving, it's because something's about to smack you in the head. Sometimes waiting is protection. And you think Father God's up there teasing you like you're on a treadmill and there's a brownie in front of you. And you're like running and he's like not letting you catch it. And he's sitting there going, I'm trying to protect you from what you don't even see that's coming. And as soon as that passes and it's safe, we're going. And that's what trusting, building history with God is. Step two. The really... really hard one. Control yourself. Control your emotions. All the teenage girls said amen. They got you. All right, so there are so many times that we let our emotions dictate how we're going to act in a situation. I feel mad, and so because I feel mad, everybody else is about to feel mad. Like that quote, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's kind of sad, actually. So like if you work in retail and customers are rude, and you're like, you're behind your back and you got a smile on your face, but you're like clenching your fists, like, I promise if I was off the clock right now, it'd be a different story. Or if you're the customer and the employee's having a bad day and you don't know it and they're a little snippy with you, so you're like, I'm about to... like, take this t-shirt and rip it just a little bit and then put it back and walk out of the store. Or, like, if you have, like, sweet heavens to Betsy, if you have teenagers and the back sass just won't stop. I was one of them. Bless my... wow. Okay. Okay. I'm cutting that part out, second service. All right. I see you. Okay, so let's move. Remember what I just said. Cut that part out for a second. And you're balling your fists down here. Like, you never want to put your fists at your kids, right? But you want to, but you can't. And so, you know, and you're like, or, look, I don't go to ball games anymore. Because you're at a ball game with your kids, and the poor umpire who's just trying to do his job and is probably volunteer or gets paid nothing. And all these parents over here are acting like it's the World Series or there's like $7 million at stake. And evidently your kid getting to first base is more important than the umpire knowing Jesus. I don't go to ball games anymore because I get too mad at the parents. I'm losing my Jesus with the parents for losing their Jesus at the umpire. When Jesus, listen, when you get to heaven, Jesus is not going to be like, man, I hope your kid got to first base. Hope they scored a home run. He's going to be like, man, what was wrong with you? Because that umpire could have met Jesus, but he didn't because you were too busy being a jerk. Kids' ball game get me heated, y'all. That's why I don't go. That's why I don't go. So if you got kids in this church and they play ball, I won't be there. Tell them I love them. Bill Myers is an author that I love. He writes so many books on spiritual warfare, and I think they're really awesome. They really opened my eyes about how the supernatural works. And he says one of my all-time favorite quotes. I mean, I say this all the time. I mean, like once a year, it's my status on Facebook. It says, emotions are like children. Enjoy them when they are good, but don't let them rule your house. And I'm like, yes, Lord. Because I love me some kids. I'm a kids pastor, right? We'll watch movies and eat mac and cheese all day. We'll run around and swim. But the minute they start getting sassy, I'm like, no, no. I run this. I'm the one who's got the most sense out of all of us in this room. So I'm going to be in charge. And you got to do the same thing with your emotions. Your emotions are like children because they are unruly and they're flighty. As amazing as children are, they blow like the wind. And so do your emotions. And so the minute you start to get heated about Susie behind the checkout counter, you got to bring your emotions and call them on the carpet and say, nuh-uh, I run this. I got the most sense out of all of us in this room. So I'm going to be happy. Because when you are, how many of you professing believers in Jesus? Great, that's awesome. If you didn't raise your hand, we're going to pray for you after service. Come and find me. Just kidding, that's your choice. So if you're a professing believer, you have Holy Spirit power living inside of you. So you cannot use the excuse, I'm just a human. And humans get emotional. You are not just human because you have the same power that conquered the grave living inside of you. And if Holy Spirit can conquer the grave, he can surely enough conquer traffic lights. And so he can surely enough conquer your emotions when somebody cuts you off. And it's hard too, especially when you're trying to get to the drive-thru. Girls gotta eat. So, number three, fill your time. Oh, yeah, there we go. Fill your time. Fill it well. Because you can fill your time with multiple things, like my story before. You can fill it with whining and complaining. You can fill it like those other girls did. Or you can fill it well. During your season of waiting for things, God's trying to do something in you. He could be calling you to be active and act in something. He could be calling you to start something new. He could be calling you to deepen your relationship. He's always calling you to deepen your relationship. Or he could be calling you to rest and just wait because what's coming is going to be a lot. He wants you to fill your time well. And so to further extend my story, when I decided to change my perspective on patience and realize that I wasn't being patient, I was just waiting, and he was teaching me how to fill my time well, I was able to do some of the most amazing things. And I might get a little emotional, just deal with it. So I was able to realize that I love to dance. And I, from there, and this is not me bragging, this is me showing you an example of what God does when you choose to fill your time well. And so I was able to start teaching dance. And so these, and this, again, not bragging, but the dancers that you see on Sunday are my students. I was able to start a drama team. And the drama teams that you see at Christmas and for DCSM takeovers were something that God and I built history together with. Amen. Or, and this is the part that gets me, he brought five of the most incredible girls into my life to mentor as young teenagers, and they're growing into beautiful, amazing young women. And they have changed my life. But if I had stuck in complaining and whining, that would have never happened. And I don't think he'd brought them into my life so I could change them. They changed me. And I'm so grateful for the waiting. I'm so grateful things didn't go my way and I got married at 19, because all you married people know that once you get married, it's like a rocket. You're busy. And if those 6 years of me waiting hadn't been there, I wouldn't have been able to have my life changed like that. I wouldn't have been able to see dreams come true of a drama team that not only performs here and changes lives here, they've gone out. They've gone out into Detroit. They've gone out to camps and touched the lives of teenagers that still talk about them years later. Or helping the dreams of girls who had a passion for dance and didn't even know it, because I decided to fill my time well. And that's not a testament to me. That's a testament of God smacking me in the face. Tell me I better straighten up. But at the root of patience, the root, the thing that causes patience to grow is thankfulness. You cannot whine and complain about something if you're too busy being grateful for it. Moms and dads, if you're waiting on your kids to come home, it's going to be a much easier road if you thank him that they're on their way back. The same way, because just as much as there are parents waiting on kids, there are kids waiting on parents. And so teenagers, if you're waiting on your parents, it's better to thank them for it now. Get on your knees and cry out to God, but don't stay there. Get up and thank him for it. Single people who are waiting on your spouse, I feel you. But figure out what he's doing right now. He could change your life. This is the sweetest time because it's just you and God. Just the two of you. And once you get married, it's amazing, but it'll never be that way again. Teenagers or young adults who are anxious because you don't know what you want to do with your life. Should you go to college? Should you just go straight to working? Should you wait a little bit? Quit being anxious about it and thank him for the calling that he's already put on your life. And start doing what you're passionate about now, and he will grow that into what he wants you to do, because he's already got it here. So we're gonna do something. Because for every season of life, there is something to be thankful for. You can thank him for what you're waiting for. You can thank him for the frustrations that are in your life that you're trying to be patient with. Do we have the pens and paper down here? Did we clear that up? Okay. So if you're waiting on something in your life, if you see the walls, they're filled with thank you notes of people who are patiently and thankfully waiting on something to come to pass. And if you're waiting on something in your life, they're going to sing a song. And I would love for you during this song to just come up here and grab a pen, grab a little piece of paper, and write what it is that you're thankful that is coming to pass. And then just roll it up and stick it in the wall. It doesn't have to be like when nobody's going to lay hands on you or ask you what it is that you're waiting for. Just a time between you and God to show him how thankful you are for what he's bringing to pass. So they're going to start singing that, and you guys just come up whenever you feel ready to. Father, for teaching us how to be patient. Every step of the way, you're teaching us how to be more patient, to rely on you, and to build history with you. And we thank you for the things that you're bringing to pass, and I just give you thanks for not getting frustrated with us, for not losing your patience with us. We lose our patience with you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.